From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on this morning's Forum program, the California Hospital Association has withdrawn its support for a project measuring the quality of care delivered by hospitals around the state. The measurements include rate of patient death from complications, levels of patient satisfaction, and more. Could this move prevent consumers from getting important hospital safety information? We discuss hospital ratings, where to find them, and what they can tell us. That's all next on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Since 2004, important data has been in place for consumers on the Cal Hospital Compare website. The California Hospital Association now feels this source of information has outlived its usefulness, and its Board of Trustees voted unanimously to withdraw its endorsement of Hospital Participation in CHART, the California Hospital Assessment and Reporting Task Force, which means ongoing funding for the website will probably no longer continue. Do other sites offer enough information, and how much transparency of hospital data is necessary, and how can you, as a healthcare consumer, choose hospitals wisely and in your own best interest? We take all that up in this morning's opening forum hour, and joining us here in studio is Betsy Imhals, who is Special Projects Director for Consumers Union and an expert on health policy, and welcome to the program. Good morning.
Thanks so much.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Adams Dudley, who's here with us in studio, professor of medicine and health policy at the University of California, San Francisco. He is with the pulmonary and critical care division there. Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. And glad to have David Perot, who joins us by phone this morning. He's senior vice president and chief medical officer for the Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System and chair of the California Hospital Association Quality Committee. He's also a member of the CHART board and played a key role in the decision to withdraw the endorsement of the CHART program. And we welcome you to the program, David Perot.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. And Betsy Imhals, let me begin with you and kind of get a consumer's eye view, or as good of a kind of spectatorial view if we can, from you about the sources. There are a lot of them out there. And when somebody's trying to decide what the gold standard is or how they can find out the most that they can find out to be enlightened about what hospitals' mortality rates are and all those important things, where to go?
You're right, Michael. There are a lot of different data sources. Here in California alone, we have the Department of Public Health gathering information about adverse events and about infections, an entity called OSHPED, which is the Office of State Health Planning and Development, gathering data on all hospital discharges. And then a CHART itself has been, aggregating from a lot of different places the measures in a way that's really quite consumer friendly and easy to read. So CHART is a good place to start for now, as long as they're still up and running, because the information is all aggregated in one place and it is visually easy to read.
It's also considered by some to be maybe the best source with the most rigorous analysis, and with these ICU mortality rates that have arguably saved many thousands of lives.
Yeah, that's ICU mortality rates is a unique one that CHART had. The other data is gathered in other places but not easily found. So that's one of the key things for consumers, is not just finding it but then being able to actually weed through it. Complicated charts and long narratives with data buried in the middle of them are not going to be easy to access.
Maybe we could get you to give some of these websites on air here, although they will be on our on our website, kqed.org.
Yeah. Sure. Well, one place people can go also is our own project, which is the Safe Patient Project. It's a national project, but if you click on the California drop-down menu, you'll find a lot of information about California safety and quality information. So that's one of them. And then the California Department of Public Health. I would just Google departmentofpublichealth.org. And then the acronym again for that strange-sounding agency is OSHPED, O-S-H-P-D, and that's a state agency as well. And then CHART, of course, is calhospitalcompare.org.
Well, let's talk about why you think the California Hospital Association is withdrawing support for calhospitalcompare.org. It's unlikely that they're going to get funding now with this and Board of Trustees deciding not to back them anymore.
Right. I haven't spoken directly with them. I think what they've said to the press is that there are a lot of competing requests for data including on the federal level, and that that's just too much for them to also continue to support Chart. So that's the reason they've given. There was also a bill signed into law, SB 751 this year, which for the first time allows health plans to directly give quality information report cards, if you will, to their enrollees. Perhaps they felt that that's another place that it'll be happening and that they don't need to participate in this one. I don't know, but I'll be curious to hear what they have to say today.
Well, again, Betsy Imholtz is Special Projects Director of Consumers Union, and Adams Dudley is Professor of Medicine and Health Policy at UC San Francisco, who's involved in the creation of Chart, and his team over at USF actually collects data and prepares reports. What's your sense of why the board acted the way it did, Adams? I mean, to some extent, I guess it's expensive from their perspective too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, so when we started Chart, the idea was that by creating a single table at which the insurers, the hospitals, employers, labor unions, and consumers all sat and agreeing what is it about hospitals that we want to measure in California, we were going to make it easier for hospitals to have a single request to which they would respond. And we're going to make it easier for insurers and hospitals together to make quality matter in the medical market.
So this would be voluntary for all, 236
hospitals? It's always been voluntary.
Hospitals.
Yeah, 246 was
46, pardon me.
Right,
yeah.
Now. And the idea was to make quality matter in the marketplace. And I think fundamentally what's going on right now is that the hospitals feel like there hasn't been enough reward for the work. I mean, they have done great work in this. Hospitals that are in Chart are doing better than California hospitals that are not in Chart. Hospitals that are in Chart are doing better than the national average. And I think the hospitals feel as though there hasn't been enough of a change in the market so that quality actually matters. I think that they would tell you that when they sit down to negotiate with insurance companies, it really comes down to cost. And given that environment, it's hard for them to keep putting in the resources to collect data about quality when no one's going to pay them for it.
Well, frankly, the insurance companies seem to care more about cost, don't they?
Well, I don't get to sit in on any of those negotiations. I'm just telling you what hospitals have told me.
It would appear that way, though, and under most circumstances. But nobody in the state is doing what you're doing at Chart, are they?
No one in the nation is doing what we're doing in Chart. So we got everyone together. Because we work together, there's never been any disagreement about the methods. No one says the quality measures are incorrect or inaccurate. And we've had an enormous impact. For instance, you mentioned the intensive care death rates. This is a really important area. So the intensive care unit is where if you go to the hospital and you get suddenly sick enough that you might die, we take you to the intensive care unit to try and save you. We don't take people there who have advanced cancer and everyone knows they're going to die. So it's sort of the summary of deaths prevented is what we're getting at.
Which is a pretty important statistic to know and be mindful of if you're going to a hospital.
I think it's what people most want when they go to the hospital is don't let me die. If it can be prevented, don't let me die. And we have reduced the mortality rate by from 13% to 11% among Chart hospitals over the last 3 years, which may sound like, oh, it's only 2%, but across the approximately 200,000 people who are admitted to California ICUs a year, that's 4,000 people who are alive now who wouldn't have been. And it's not because of a new drug or a new technology or some major medical advance. It's because we've focused attention on being really careful in this area, and we've applied things we already knew before 2007 to make care better.
I indicated, though, that maybe the website's coming down because it's become too costly. You guys getting paid there at UCSF for compiling this data and putting it together?
Aggregation? No, it's not the cost of the website that's the problem. It's the cost
of the data collection.
Of the data collection.
Yeah.
And of the programs to improve quality. And so actually, the most expensive thing isn't the measurement. It's certainly not putting the measures on the website. That's the least expensive. The website, least expensive, measurement next. And then the real thing is, what are we going to do with this? Are we going to work hard to improve quality? And that can cost a lot of money for each, and every hospital has to do it, at least as long as we're making the data available to the public. And so it's pretty expensive for them. And I think they would generally feel like there hasn't been enough of a reward in the marketplace.
Well, let me bring David Perot into this. Again, he's Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer for Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System, but also chairs the California Hospital Association Quality Committee. And the California Hospital Association is, we've got to get on the record here, David Perot, a lobbying group. And I guess what I need to find out from you is, what do you need to reduce the amount of data collection? Is just too much data out there or too costly or what?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us on. It's not the amount of data. It's the fact that much of the data that are being collected now through CHART are collected through other agencies. In fact, of the 50-plus measurable metrics at which we collect data for CHART, all but one of them are reported in other entities. And what really has happened is that there's an evolution occurring here. And when CHART was formed and Adams was there at the beginning, there was a real void in the marketplace to have data collected such as we are doing. Subsequent to that time, CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is one of the large purchasers of health care in the United States, has really become very involved in identifying metrics for hospitals to collect data on quality. And many of the same metrics that we use now in CHART are the ones that CMS recommends that the hospitals have to collect to participate in Medicare funding.
Do these Medicare sites offer the same information as CHART?
Yes, they do. All but the one. There is the one that Adams did speak to, and that is the ICU data that we collect. And the hospitals have had some questions and some inherent problems with the ICU data. It's not the fact that we collect data and we want to not improve the mortality rates. It's the fact that there are certain things we feel that there's errors and there's a tremendous amount of resource on this particular measure needed to collect the data. And so therefore, when the Hospital Association looked at this and realized there are so many other sources out there, such as CMS, and if you're a Joint Commission accredited hospital, they have information out there on the quality of care that's being provided, that the goal of CHART was to have a one-stop source and hopefully become the only source for all of this data to be collected. And what has happened is that other agencies, such as CMS, and as they mentioned earlier, the insurance companies now are now collecting data different than what CHART is and assembling this and putting it on their websites. And therefore, we are being inundated with multiple places to collect data, and therefore, there was a vacuum previously prior to the beginning of CHART, there no longer is.
Well, what strikes me here, and forgive me for putting this as a kind of elephant in the room, but it's obvious in many ways, and that is the incentive of money. Medicare money is attached to how hospitals perform. So to a great extent, this data becomes aligned with cash.
Well, it has become aligned in cash, and that is one of the goals of CMS. And if you look at value-based purchasing, which is a new initiative that has now started to become effective this year, many of the measures, for example, the HCAHPS scores, which is the patient satisfaction scores, which are included in CHART, are a component of the value-based purchasing approach that CMS is doing to reimburse hospitals. And therefore, if we don't perform at a level that is acceptable or in a range that we're competitive with other hospitals, we receive less money to care for patients. So there's an incentive for us to do well. And that, I think, the incentive is one component. But inherently, I don't think anyone comes to a hospital every day, all of the workers, the nurses, the physicians, not to do well. It is now just a measurable metric that we can now compare ourselves to other hospitals.
What are you going to decide on December 14th? Whether hospitals will get this funding? I mean, it seems at this point it's fait accompli that they won't.
Well, funding for CHART came for not only from hospitals, but it also came from the health plans. And the health plans, during one of our CHART board discussions, had indicated that if there weren't changes that were going to occur in CHART, they probably within the next year were going to withdraw funding too. And so it wasn't, long term, there were just changes that needed to occur in CHART, and the CHA finally decided that they felt that at this point in time, it was probably best interest to withdraw support for it.
David Progan is Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer with the Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System and Chair of the California Hospital Association Quality Committee and a member of the CHART Board. And Betsy Imhals is Special Projects Director for Consumers Union and an expert on health policy. And it's important, I suppose, to say here, Betsy, if we might, that the governor allowed health plans to essentially crunch numbers and send them out to members. But who's checking quality here?
Exactly. This is a huge problem. Under this new law, each hospital can crunch their own data. They can use their own methodology. They can use just their own patient mix, so that you could have the same hospital in one region getting very different scores, if you will, for different health plans. So I think we're always in favor of more information getting out, but I think it could be confusing for consumers. It could be a real Tower of Babel. And I just wanted to raise one other thing in response to something that the hospital representative said, which is that all these measures that are on chart are already out in the public, except for the ICU one. That's really not the case. There is maternity data, for example, that obviously Medicare is not going to collect that data. That information on cesarean rates, on support for breastfeeding by hospital is on the chart website. And that's very important for that group of, parents-to-be are probably the best researchers. They've got 9 months to think about it and to shop around and to really look at the practices at various hospitals. That information isn't easily findable elsewhere.
Could I ask David Pro to respond to that? Would you?
Well, that's not quite correct. There are new initiatives in the state of California under collaborators, the CPQCC and the maternal quality measure collaborative, in which that has been done as a statewide measure, and that those measures are going to be available for anyone to see from sites too. So we take that data, or Chart takes that data and puts it into their website. So much of this data that they're speaking to is available through other websites. The major one difference was there were two questions on HCAHPS scores, additional questions that were asked in patient satisfaction in the ICU. Those are the really major differences there were than from what is available in other sites.
Adams Dudley, you want to weigh in here?
Neither CPQCC nor CMQCC has ever issued a public report of any kind. They do actually have the data. That is correct. Where we get the data from is not from either of those sources. We get the breastfeeding data from the state, but it's in a report. So in some sense, it's publicly available if you knew you had to go look for it and you could find the right office and you could get them to give it to you.
A little bit of a labyrinth to go through.
A little bit. So what we do is and that's true of much of our data. And so what we do is we find those places. That's what we do. We're experts at that. And we bring it out and we bring it to the public. It's both, and so it's what we find all the data that's available, and then we also present it in a way that you can understand it. So if I don't know if you've ever looked at any of these government reports about how things are doing, but you would need an interpreter in many cases, and that's part of the role that we play.
It strikes me there's a lot of time consuming going on here in terms of collecting this data and making it available
right.
And making it as transparent as you do.
Right. That's the idea.
Well, let me actually at this point give out the phone number, because I know there are many of you who would like to join in with your questions or comments, and you're certainly cordially invited to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. Again, the General Hospital Association has withdrawn its support for a project measuring the quality of care delivered by hospitals around the state of California, and the measurements include rate of patient death from complications, levels of patient satisfaction, and more, and really asking the question about what consumers can benefit most in terms of safety information, and really talking about hospital ratings, where you find them and what can they tell you. Again, feel free to join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or posting any questions or comments you might have on our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And, of course, you can go to our Facebook page. And let me go back just for a moment, Betsy Imhals, to you. We'll bring our callers in this forthwith, but I'm also wondering just if you could give us a sense of what consumers really need to know here in terms of how they can, mm-hmm. It sounds like there's some prospecting that's going on, and you got to find the gold out there.
Right.
And for many, the chart was the gold standard, and I realize that becomes a real problem for many now that it's probably on its way out. But help consumers here.
Yeah. Well, actually, Consumer Reports has done a survey, and I think the California Healthcare Foundation did one last year as well, to find out what do consumers really want to know. And
specifically about the hospitals.
Specifically about hospitals. And the top of the list there was safety concerns. What's the mortality rate? Am I going to be subject to a hospital-acquired infection, which is a huge problem in California, 12,000 estimated deaths per year from infections that people get when they go in for some procedure in a hospital.
Are infection rates covered uniformly by all of these
infection rates
accessible websites and the like?
Well, actually, it's starting to get better. Those rates were not on chart, but they are on the Department of Public Health website. It's at a fairly early stage. They did their first report last year. They have a new big one coming out in January. The data won't be perfect. It's evolving, but it's a good beginning. So that data has to really get out there because the public is really interested in safety measures, top of the list. And
I'll put that question out to you listeners, by the way. Is safety indeed at the top of your list? And what else is at the top of your list when you're looking about going about investigating a hospital? And there certainly hospitals are in competition just like everything else institutionally in this economy of ours, which we think of as a capitalist economy. So what is of primary or preeminent importance becomes a very significant question. I'm sorry, Betsy, you were going to add.
Yeah. And also when patients have an elective procedure and they have time to actually do some research, like the maternity measures, as I was mentioning, a hip replacement is a big one, right? You know, you have a little time to think about it and to look around. What's the mortality rate? There are really three different kinds of measures is the way I think about it. One is kind of the patient experience. People are interested in, you know, did the doctor or the hospital personnel explain the medication to you? Another is a process measure. Did the hospital do the right thing in terms of giving a beta blocker if you came in for a heart attack? And the third one is, I think, something people are perhaps most interested in, which is the outcome. Did people die from when they were undergoing this particular procedure at a hospital? And those mortality rates are really important. And, you know, Michael, we've had a battle in this state, a very significant public policy battle with the hospitals often in the legislature trying to get mandated reporting and disclosure, public disclosure on many of these things. And the reason we want public disclosure is because it really drives quality improvement as well as giving consumers information.
Where's the big impediment there now as far as you're concerned?
We started working on the infections issue 7 years ago, and there was a lot of opposition to it. We had a good bill we got passed, and it was vetoed by Governor Schwarzenegger. A couple years later, we got a weaker bill signed into law. And then in 2008, we got a pretty strong law. In fact, in many ways, the strongest law in the country signed into law by Governor Schwarzenegger also. But the implementation has been like pulling teeth. Every step of the way, it's been the data is not good enough. Many of the hospitals not reporting. Only 67% of the hospitals last year ended up reporting the required infections. So it's been a long, dragged out battle.
What can you do to get teeth in this then? I mean, it's voluntary, isn't it?
No.
So it's at this point, it's mandatory. They have to report.
On infections, yes.
So they're not complying. Where are the teeth?
Yeah. Well, what we do is we go to do Public Records Act requests at Consumers Union, and we get the data ourselves, and we put out reports, and we try to make it simple and apply pressure. And then the Department of Public Health has stepped up to the plate, I think, increasingly, and they're going to be getting a little more aggressive about making sure that hospitals actually submit the data and that they'll get reports out as best they can. So it's an ongoing process.
It's an ongoing battle. And when we return, we'll find out what's on your mind and take your questions and comments. In fact, quick break and then we will be back. I want to remind you who our guests are. Betsy Imhals is Special Projects Director with Consumers Union and is an expert on health policy. Adams Dudley, who's also in studio with us, is Professor of Medicine and Health Policy at University of California, San Francisco, with the Pulmonary and Critical Care Division there. And David Perot is Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer for Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System and chairs the California Hospital Association Quality Committee, also a member of the CHART Board. Played a key role, in fact, in the decision to withdraw CHA's endorsement of the CHART program. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about hospitals this hour and how you compare them and how they're rated and the data that's coming out of hospitals, which is certainly so important to the public. With us in studio is Betsy Imhals, Special Projects Director for Consumer Union, and Adams Dudley, who is Professor of Medicine and Health Policy at UCSF. And with us by phone is David Perot, Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer for Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System and Chair of the California Hospital Association Organization. You were going to say something. Well, actually, Adam Zudlow, you did say something to me off air, which bears repeating.
So Betsy had mentioned that at calhospitalcompare.org, we don't include the data from the state report about hospital infection rates. The reason for that is that when that report was issued, it's a table of hospitals with their infection rates. But at the top of it, it says, this data not to be used to compare hospitals. And we think most consumers would have found that confusing. If you go to calhospitalcompare.org, we're only going to show you data that that is to be used to compare hospitals, and we're going to show it in a way you can understand. That's why it's considered the blue ribbon source for quality information.
Well, David Pro, let me go back to you because I suppose, and many listeners want some reassurance that when this website comes down, and it seems likely that it will, that they will still get what they need to from what's out there in the way of data collection and data accessibility.
Well, they will, and from a variety of areas. First of all, we are continuing discussions upon other methods by which this can be done, and there's a chart board meeting actually next week, Wednesday, for further discussions. However, if you look at where things are evolving, just yesterday, CMS issued about 170-plus page report, of which there are going to be 60 additional measures by which hospitals have to collect data and be publicly reported on the CMS website. The CMS website is actually fairly friendly and useful for consumers to look at, and they are collecting data far beyond just Medicare data. CMS is interested in, they're interested in things that we are collecting, we were speaking to here previously, infection rates as far as readmission rates, et cetera. So there are going to be other sites that are available for the consumers. In addition to it, the health plans continue to move forward, and Betsy mentioned the bill that was passed in which they're going to be putting out their information that they receive from hospitals as to the quality of care and patient safety initiatives and results that hospitals are partaking in.
And again, David Pro is a member of the CHART board. And by the way, the California Hospital Assessment and Reporting Task Force, that's CHART, was established back in 2004 to develop a statewide hospital performance reporting system and do so using a multi-stakeholder collaborative process. And let's collaborate with some of you, our listeners, and find out what's on your minds. Joe, you're first up here. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just have a couple of comments, and actually three comments. The first one is that I do think that this data is super important because it ensures that our quality of care can be improved, that we can measure it over time. My two concerns and comments are that I worry that we're turning healthcare into a consumer good where patients are turned into customers. And the flip side of that is I feel like this is more like an insider baseball kind of conversation where, as a consumer, quote unquote, I don't really have a choice of what hospital I go to if I have an accident, I'm unconscious, or if I decide to go to a hospital because of some procedure my doctor decides I need to have. So, yes, it's important, but as an individual out there, going to a website to look at what hospital is better than another one doesn't do me a whole lot of good. So I'm wondering what this conversation really is about.
Well, Betsy Imhals of Consumers Union is nodding her head vigorously to both of your points. So, yes. Betsy?
Yeah. It's absolutely true that the research to date shows that consumers don't use this data too much. Generally speaking, they don't look at quality data that much about hospitals. We think that's going to change over time with health reform implementation going on and people being asked to take more responsibility for their care and choosing plans, et cetera. We think that may change over time. But you're absolutely right that right now it's not so much used. But for those who have...
Should be, though.
It should be. People should be paying attention. Most people think we have the best healthcare in the world and the safest. And the reality is that that's not the case. When you look at industrialized countries, we're not doing as well as we would like to.
And there is some dramatic differences in hospitals.
And there are dramatic differences. I mean, just in cesarean rates, for example, it's one I've just looked at recently, so it's on my mind. Some hospitals have a 10% cesarean rate. Other ones I saw in the state have a 60% rate of cesareans for live births. There's shocking differences, and the mortality differences, of course, are there too. So I hear what you're saying, and consumers don't, in many cases, have choice because, you've got a plan and it only has one hospital.
Or like he said, your doctor says go to this hospital.
That's right.
There you go.
Right.
Michael, this is David. I would totally agree with what Betsy had to state there, and I think your caller has a very valid point. And in fact, when one of probably the hallmark transparency efforts that were done in the early 2000s was the issue of bypass surgery in New York and also in Pennsylvania. And just as Betsy has stated, most consumers do not make their decision based upon the website at the present time. And it's for the reason you described. It's a health plans that oftentimes have contracts with a particular hospital for which you have to go to for your care. Or probably the more important thing is the fact that you have a relationship with your physician. Your physician is going to recommend where he or she has privileges or where they perform their care. And therefore, those are probably the two major factors that drive a particular patient to a hospital.
Betsy Imholz, I know you want to add something here, but what about the caller's first point that maybe we're trying to turn this into too much of a consumer issue, that may indeed be sort of eclipsing the importance of what hospitals are really serving the public?
Yeah. Well, we do believe healthcare is a right and not a good to be traded upon. But some of the same principles, you know, we hear this all the time because I work for Consumer Reports, right? And they say, well, you know, we know more about refrigerators than we know about healthcare. So there is a sort of a crying need to get more information about the quality and the cost in many cases of our healthcare as well. The additional point I wanted to make is that the other reason for disclosing this information publicly, as I said earlier, is that it really does improve the quality of healthcare. On the coronary artery bypasses, both in New York and California, it's been studied and found that those mortality rates are going down. Fewer people are dying since the information's been made public. And causation's always hard to prove, but it's a pretty strong trend there that quality really does improve when the information's out in the public.
When they started, public reporting of bypass surgery mortality rates in New York, there were hospitals that had over 8% mortality rate. And now all the hospitals are down below 2%. In addition, while sometimes
good free enterprise competition.
Yeah, so it's true that most consumers right now are not using this, but some are, and they ought to have access to data like that. In addition, we've done surveys not just on our website but a national network of sites like ours, and some doctors are using it to make referrals. So sometimes, Joe, your doctor will actually look at a site like this to decide where you go, and surely you would want them to be able to do that. And last of all, while not all consumers use it, there are 4,000 more of them walking around each day because mortality rates are lower in the last year. So I think that's worth having pretty much no matter who's using the website.
And, Joe, I want to thank you for the call. And let me go to more of your calls. Dan, you're on. Good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. I would be interested to know what your guests think about non-clinical quality factors like customer experience and how well they're being treated in the hospital and things like comfort factors and whether or not people help them to navigate their health experience and things like that, how important those things are to help people select hospitals and rate their health care.
Yeah, let me go to you on that, David Perot.
Sure. Well, first of all, that is a factor that is now being measured by the government in what they call HCAHPS scores, and that is a patient satisfaction, and there are several questions related to things such as, was the hospital quiet? Did your doctor explain things to you well? And there's a series of questions that are now collected that we have to participate in. And
were the doctors nice? How about that one?
There is one in which there is a question about physicians in there. So that is important, an important data point. And in fact, it is such an important part that when I discussed the value-based purchasing earlier in the conversation, that is a component, and it weighs about 30% of what CMS is considering for reimbursement for hospitals. So they feel that it is an important component for measurement as well as to have reimbursement levels based upon that.
But it's also an excellent example of why to have organizations like ours that push. So David mentioned that we added some questions to that survey. We added questions because the weakest part of the survey was, are you ready to go home yet? They didn't ask that in a good way. So we added questions to find that out. And I think when, you know, if you do survive, so that's, we added, do you survive at all? And are you ready to go home? I think most people would say those are the two biggest problems in hospitals today.
The other big problem, of course, and I don't know if this includes your data collection or if it's out there, is A lot of people feel they're rushed out. You know, it's an assembly line
right.
type of medicine.
Yep.
And
that's what we asked about. So
yeah.
We addressed the main problems. That's why, you know, if you wait for national movements, they're going to have to go with what the 50th state in terms of readiness can do. And that's why it makes sense to have local initiatives that push the boundaries always. California has been a leader from 2004 to now. California ought to always be a leader.
The problem with the Adams brings up the questions is that the hospitals have felt they have not saw value to some of those questions have been asked. And there is not endorsed by NQF, which we think is an important component, and therefore that's a concern for us as hospitals. And that's been part of the discussion that has gone on in Chart for the last 18 months, actually.
Right. So when they don't see value, they're talking about the market impact.
Now, here's Justin who says, don't life insurers have the greatest interest in making ICU data public? Why don't they fund this?
Michael, I'd like to address a little bit of the ICU. That's been a point of concern for the hospitals. The hospitals wanted to go forward. And first of all, I think it's important to remember, this is an interesting conversation in that if you would have had this conversation 10 years ago, there was a real reluctance by providers of health care to be transparent. I think we've moved past that. You know, this has not come up. I don't think anyone in the hospital association is not steadfast behind having transparency. So we really have made a major move in wanting to have transparency of our data. The questions that now come up are really, we have to have things that are going to be valuable not only to the consumer, but also to improving quality of care and patient safety. And sometimes measures are done without really good scientific background being done, and therefore they no longer have value. One of them was this issue that CMS had required for us to collect information on cessation of smoking. And while we took all this effort to do it, they found no value in the end. In the end, while we could talk to the patient and say, we want you to quit smoking if you come in with congestive heart failure, it really didn't have any effect upon quality of care. And therefore, these are the type of things now the discussion really needs to evolve upon, and that is, are the measures that we're doing valuable to the consumer? Are they valuable to the purchaser of health care? Are they valuable to improving patient safety and quality?
And you're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I remind you, you can email us forum@kqed.org or post questions or comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or go to our Facebook page. Our phone number, toll-free, is 866-733-6786. Here's a listener who writes, using multiple data sources for statistics keeps the data honest. Having a single data source gives the opportunity for falsifying data. Thank you for that. And here's another listener, Bruce, who says, how does a person find out about MRSA infection rates at specific hospitals?
Mm. That's an issue consumers unions worked on for several years. It's a big issue, these antibiotic-resistant superbugs, we call them. MRSA is one of them. And we got a law passed in 2008, which does require reporting by hospital. Some of that data should be coming due, actually, very soon, like January 2012, by hospital.
Again, Betsy Amaltz is Special Projects Director with Consumers Union and an expert on health policy. And Swapnil is our next caller. Do I have your name right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good, good. Thank you for listening to my call. I'm the chief of orthopedics over at Highland Hospital in Alameda County. And we've been, you know, going through a lot of the data of infection here, and the way the state is mandating that we report our infections is sometimes confusing, and I worry that hospitals, physicians, and institutions can massage the numbers one way or the other. What do you think about, you know, the validity of the data and how it's actually going to be implemented?
Want to jump in here, Adams Dudley?
Sure. You're absolutely right that you can measure wrong. And so that's why you have an organization like Chart. We actually go back and audit the data. We send people in to who don't know what the hospitals have reported to look at the medical chart and see whether or not they agree. We also spend so that sort of sounds like a punitive process, and we feel like you want that stick there. But actually, we spend an enormous amount of time with the carrot of teaching the hospitals how to measure data the same way and getting everyone to do it Right. And in our, and when we do get in that environment, when we do get around to our audits, we've found that while mistakes are made, they're just as likely currently to be mistakes of not giving yourself enough credit as they are mistakes of giving yourself too much credit. So at the moment, with the current infrastructure in place, with all the hospitals knowing that everyone's watching, the data seems to be pretty good for the things that we're in charge of.
And agree, David Perreault, that the data is reliable and certainly, for the most part, good?
I would agree with what Adam said. I think the thing is we need to clarify a little bit in that CMS also does do audit of the data that were collected, and that data that is submitted to CHART, which is a large part of CHART data that are on the public website, are the same ones that CMS does audit on. CHART doesn't go back and audit them. They audit a limited number of the metrics in which we're doing. Auditing is important because it ensures that we're doing correctly, as Adam has described. It is a challenge, though, and the challenge with when Betsy was talking about the law and the infection reporting, the problem is oftentimes the law is ahead of what we have available in terms of guidelines to have us tell us how to collect the data and what data, how those should be measured, and therefore it takes a while for that to be ramped up to the point where it can be done. We're reporting the data to the NHSN, our infection control, and unfortunately, they weren't even prepared for the information we were going to provide. So therefore, sometimes things get out ahead our ability to really assemble a method by which we're going to make sure that the data are collected in a standardized process.
And let me thank Swapnil for his call and go right to another call, and that's you, Barbara. Join us. You're on Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about how the statistics, particularly on cardiovascular success, surgery success, is affected by surgeons who are afraid of risk. My father was scheduled for surgery this summer, and the surgeon decided that he was too demented to take care of himself afterwards. He's not demented, but that's a personal opinion. But we came to find out later that this surgeon has a very high success rate, but primarily because he turns down patients. And well, so what about the patients that are at risk because of low-risk doctors? Yeah.
Well, surgeon discretion, let's call it, or whatever. Yeah, Adams Dudley.
It was really a nightmare for us, I can add.
I can understand and empathize.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about your situation with your dad. No, it actually is a real problem if you just try to do the easiest possible way of public reporting. So unfortunately right now, to make it easier to avoid complicated methods of figuring out who's doing well, most of the bypass surgery public reporting is just on people who all they need is a bypass and they don't have other complicated issues. What I have proposed and would like to see happen is, in fact, that you combine the death rates with a sort of a red badge of courage for the people who are willing to take the difficult cases. And if you did that and you had a place where you could have gone to look for your father's case and say, well, that doctor only wants to do the easy stuff. Where can I take someone like my dad? Then that's exactly an example of how you could really, really help consumers if you would shed a light on some of these topics.
Mike,
David Perreault.
This is what your caller has described. I can empathize with her because we know this is a phenomenon that has occurred in the heart bypass after the release of the information in New York. Recently, there is a major teaching institution in the Northeast that had particular heart data in which they saw their data were ones in which they weren't really performing as well as their competitors or competing hospitals in the Northeast. And what they found was that they were taking these high-risk cases. And just as Adam described, there's no way in which you're not penalized. So they just started to change their methods by which they chose their patients. And, of course, the data improved. So this is a phenomenon that does occur now with the reporting of data. But I don't think that should prevent us from reporting data. It's very important we have transparency, but we have to find methods such as what Adam described or other ways to make recognition for those organizations or physicians that are going to provide care for high-risk patients.
Betsy Imhals?
Yeah, I am very sorry to hear about your situation with your dad. I'm taking care of an elderly mom. I know these things are just heartbreaking. The argument about risk selection has been raised forever against public reporting, and actually in the coronary artery bypass situation, studied in New York and here very recently in California, where we have a lot of years of history, it was found not to create risk selection problems. And in fact, some of the outlier bad performing docs, with the higher mortality rates, actually dropped out of performing the surgeries. So it wasn't found to be, to date, a factor.
But fundamentally, it doesn't matter. I mean, if the argument is that there might be bad behavior, then surely the solution isn't to stop shedding light in that area. You know, I mean, if the concern is that people will behave badly, you want to shed more light in that area.
Mm-hmm. Let me thank the caller and bring in another call. That's you, Ray. You're on. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, hi. I do database design, and I, you know, in particular, sort of a sidelight, I recontextualize publicly available databases to try to find different things, sort of a hobby. But I wanted to find out, agencies are often putting up information in a way that's very hard to use. Technically, it's available. You know, for example, the California Public Health System has the hospital infection data up as multi-column PDFs. They have a database for facilities that has a lot of information. The hospital infection data is not at all connected to the database. And they, you know, there are technical things about the website for the database that make it hard to look at more than a few at a time. You can search for a particular hospital, but you can't look for hospitals that are like X, for instance. Mm-hmm. They want you to pick, you know, you can look at one and then you can look at another. You can't look at things across the board. And web designers have different ways of blocking people from doing what they want. Do you guys have suggestions to make, you know, the data really available as opposed to, you know, in PDF form, which is just visible but not reusable?
Yeah, Betsy Amos is moving closer to the microphone.
Yeah,
here,
I'm smiling because it's so much of what we do at Consumer Reports is figuring out how do you tell people complicated information and people who want it in different ways. Some people want just, you know, What's the best performer? What's the cheapest? People want different things out of the data. And Chart really, I think, and the CMS compare site as well, present it visually in a really easy way. And I agree with you. The state sources right now don't. It's an evolving science, and we need to press them to get it in more plain language and in more visually accessible ways.
But here's a listener, Nancy, who writes, if a small hospital performs two open-heart surgeries, for example, per year, and both patients survive, this hospital gets a 100% rating for a survival. On the other hand, if a large hospital performs 50 such operations per year and three patients die, then this more heart-savvy hospital receives only 94% survival rating, making it appear to be less safe. In fact, the large hospital is probably the safer of the two for open-heart surgery due to the experience of its surgical team. Don't you think statistics can be badly misinterpreted and unfairly representative of the hospitals? David Perl, what do you think?
This is what we've worked with Adams over the year to address those type of things. And also CMS does have limitations. If you have insufficient amount of data to submit, they do. Those are what we call outliers, and those hospitals are so designated with an asterisk or so stating that they have insufficient data to make a proper statistical analysis. So those type of things are taken considerations as we become much more as the systems become much more robust in the data collection as well as our analysis. Those type of things are taken consideration as well as risk adjustment. And Adams is an expert at this and has worked with us in doing this. But CMS is doing the exact same thing with their data too.
Well, Adams, here's another listener, Red, who says, can we really trust those who audit hospitals? Enron passed its audits. So did every big bank that nearly failed before the government bailed them out.
Well, maybe someone ought to audit us then. I mean, there comes a time. I mean, that's why we wanted a community table. So this program started when we set it up. We said we're going to have equal number of seats. There are 4 seats for consumers, 4 seats for hospitals, 4 seats for insurers, 4 seats for people who buy, employers, labor unions, et cetera. It turned out that wasn't quite as equal a power structure as we thought because in the end, the money that flows in has to come either from the insurers or the hospitals and the data has to come from the hospitals.
Well, that raises another question. Here's Christian who says, how much does Chart cost to run? How many people are involved in an effort to collect and audit the data?
It's a pretty expensive process. It's about $1 million a year.
Yeah.
But that's just the data part. The hospitals spend much more than that. In fairness to the hospitals, they spend more than that collecting, a lot more than that collecting the data.
David Pro.
So with regards to the audit, I think just so we clarify how it's done, the audits were done where the charts were reviewed, the charts in which there were information collected and submitted for the respective agencies, whether it's CMS or CHART. What happens is that those agencies actually collect those charts, review the charts themselves outside of the hospital, and determine if the information we collected and provided to them was accurate. So it really is as much of a separate third party reviewing the data in the audit, I think, as there could be in that. So I think it's fairly robust in the way that it's collected and audited.
David Pro, again, is a member of the CHART board and chair of the California Hospital Association Quality Committee. And our next caller joins us. Phil, go ahead.
Good morning. I've been listening to your discussion. Very interesting. I'm a retired physician in San Francisco. And unfortunately, the way that one can really know what goes on in a hospital, you almost have to be a physician or a nurse. It's important that way you really know who to go to and sometimes, more importantly, who not to go to. So while I respect all the data that everyone's collecting, all the information, all the charts, and so on and so forth, it really boils down to the individual physician and whether or not you would recommend. As a physician, I know who I go to in some hospitals and who I would avoid. And I think that's something that the data will never, ever show.
I can tell you, Phil, since you're a retired physician, I worry about all the friends of mine who are at Kaiser, where I belong, because they seem to be retiring left and right. Mm-hmm. Help me navigate the system and know what doctors to go to. Thank you for that call. Well, let's coming to the end of this program. Betsy, let's go back to you on this. Betsy Imholtz, what would you particularly want consumers to know here? I mean, in addition to the fact that they should use these sources to a much greater extent and avail themselves of them, but just about navigating through them.
Yeah. Well, that there are great variations in care and quality of care and safety of care, to be informed. Always the advice is when you go to the hospital. Yeah, actually, we have doctors and nurses in our network here in California of activists, and they say the best advice is stay away from a hospital altogether. But we know we can't do that, and we appreciate it when we get good care at a hospital. It's obviously life-saving in many instances. But bring someone with you if you have to go in. Have an advocate with you who can help navigate the system, make sure, you know, about what meds you're on, et cetera.
Well, thank you, Betsy Imholtz, Special Projects Director for Consumers Union. Thank you, Adams Dudley, who is, again, a professor of medicine and health policy at UCSF, and he's there with the Pulmonary and Critical Care Division. And thank you, David Perot, Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer for Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System and Chair of the California Hospital Association Quality Committee. And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Thanks to Senior Editor Dan Zoll, to our producers, Judy Campbell, Tina Larberg, Kevin Guillory, and our engineer, Danny Bringer. Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.